On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's fun to talk to Nicholas Wapshot. His new book is Samuelson Friedman, The Battle Over the Free Market. This is high-end economics in the 20th century reaching into the 21st. The 20th century, however, was darkened by the Great War, which bloodied the families of continental Europe and pulled the U.S. into the tangle that we know resulted in the Second War, a settling of scores that darkened the earth. At the same time, economics coming out of the First War into the Great Depression, beginning infamously, 1929. This is the period of youth, an experiment by Milton Friedman and Paul Samuelson. We begin with Paul Samuelson. He was born in Gary, Indiana. His folks, unusual, Frank and Ella, his folks fostered him out to a farm couple that had no relationship for several years as a child. As he
literally farmed him out.
And he could not settle that. It was a mystery to him. They did eventually take him back. And
to his dying day, he did not know. The parents never explained to him what and why that took place. But it undermined him considerably. It meant that he gripped onto any authority figure passing by for some sort of certainty. Let me hold your hand, please.
He sets off, however. He's extremely well-educated by himself. And he goes to the University of Chicago as a teenager, plunges right into it. And immediately is rewarded with scholarships and teachers' attentions and eventuality. There's a moment in Columbia, then a moment back in Chicago. What is the opinion of Paul Samuelson when he first reads the Keynesian books that come out of the 1920s and the 1930s? The great book is 1936. What is his opinion in those days of Keynes?
He was blown away, as so many American economists were, particularly out of Harvard. He was out of MIT across the river, but it's the same thing, really. They suddenly discovered that here was a manual that no one particularly understood. It's very difficult to understand the general theory. It makes no sense much. But it offered a spirit of can-do. Here's a solution, maybe. Let's try it. And they were all convinced that should be the case. And Samuelson picked up the baton. And he ran for Keynes for the rest of his life, for the next 80 years.
Chicago makes him an offer, but he turns to MIT. Why, Nicholas?
He's offered a scholarship on the understanding that he doesn't continue at his institution, which is Chicago. So he goes actually off to Harvard. He gets a PhD thesis there, which actually wins him the Nobel Prize many years later. The people who came to judge the PhD thesis looked at each other when they read it and said, well, I suppose he's right, is he? We got no idea. I mean, Samuelson was, he had two brains. He was so smart that he understood things which no one else could do. His judgment, that's what we're now discussing, whether he was right about his judgment. But certainly he set the tone for the whole of economics. If macroeconomics was invented by John Maynard Keynes, which it was, Samuelson was the ultimate high priest and the writer of the key gospel, which was Samuelson on Economics, which I read Economics. Everybody that I met who read Economics bought that book, which cost roughly in today's money $150, revised every 2 years. He made himself a multimillionaire by the age of 30.
Yes, the book after the Second War becomes a textbook. He's at MIT establishing the department. It's all in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I understand that. What's important here is when he gets this tangle with Friedman, becomes explicit when he's approached by Newsweek magazine reorganizing itself in the 1960s after purchased by the Washington Post. They offer him a column. At first, he's reluctant. Why?
Well, he's very grand, Paul Samuelson. He's immensely rich. He's got, and he's spent it mostly on his family. He has lots and lots of children. One time the diapers bill, the coming out of the Samuelson family, would have broken most families. but he thought he didn't need it. And somebody pointed out what the circulation of Newsweek was. And he thought, oh, well, there's some extra sales there. But it did mean that he would get involved in the day-by-day or the week-by-week conversation about economics. And pitched against him, this is very good editing, was Milton Friedman, which is a total antithesis. And they were great friends. They were, is this separated at birth? As if they were twins separated at
right.
birth.
Right. Samus was born in 1915. Friedman's born in 1912. His parents are, well, he loses his father early. And he's educated at Rutgers, then Brown, and then Chicago Economics. And marries very well, Rose Director. His wife was also an economist. And he comes to the Keynesian theory, but... is the polite term disputatious? Is that his personality?
It is. He's a feisty little... He's a street fighter. Samuelson had acquired a sort of almost aristocratic disdain for regular people. And that's not true. He liked the common people. But he could affect a disdain for people who disagreed with him because, after all, he'd won. The established... economic theory was Keynesian, and he was sitting writing atop it. But Milton Friedman had a reputation to make, and he wanted particularly to undermine the key person in the land, which was still John Maynard Keynes. He picked up the baton that Hayek left behind and went in to fight on Hayek's behalf, although Hayek and Friedman fell out with each other too.
I like
Friedman would fall out with everyone.
Friedman understood to always punch up. That's what he was doing when he was... Oh, by the way, Nicholas has unearthed the fact that Friedman invented the withholding tax. It was him when he worked in Treasury.
It's true. You see, Samuelson was so well off and so advanced, he didn't have to work for the Treasury in the 1930s. Friedman, who detested the New Deal, actually went to work for the New Deal. He and his wife, both of them detested the New Deal. But they had to, Friedman admitted, you know, I was very lucky. I got a job during the 30s.
The book is Samuelson.
Popping up the idea I didn't like.
The book is Samuelson Friedman, The Battle Over the Free Markets. These two men know each other, correspond regularly. They're now writing columns every third week in Newsweek. So it's the battle of the economists. And when we come back, let's push them into action with Richard Nixon's election. Nicholas Wapshot is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
At Camelback Resort, adventure is always in the air and a cozy bed is always waiting for you. Share the experience of ski in, ski out fun with the entire crew. There is so much to do here on and off the slopes. Splash the night away at Aquatopia Indoor Water Park. Or venture back out for some snow tubing at the USA's biggest snow tubing park. Play, rest, repeat at Camelback Resort. Visit us online at camelbackresort.com.